Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
All right, last week's offering was $2,734.08. Amen. Don't ask me about that 8 cents. Don't ask me about that 8 cents. But by the way, I don't know if y'all know this or not, but the new bookkeeper for Life in Christ Church is Jordan Cooper Browning. That explains that 8 cents. Okay. Our February total was $7,832. The reason we're doing this is that this is an incredible thing. The donation so far for the month of March, it dawned on me when I was going over this with one of our old church members, every dollar that comes into this ministry from donations, not from the sale of the church building, but from donations, every dollar that's not used for rent, and we only have a few expenses, rent to the other church and insurance, and I think that's about it. Oh, and the radio station. That's about all. Any other money that comes in goes to donations, and I want to share a couple things with you. The week before, we had given $1,030 to the Convoy of Hope. They've set up a warehouse in Poland. I got a phone call from the lady. They've got an actual person that's connected to me, and I told her that we were disappointed that we'd sent $2,000 a couple of months ago for the tornado victims in Kentucky, and somehow or another they had sent it to Haiti, and she said, don't worry about it, we'll get it fixed, because they still have people on the ground in Mayfield, in that area in Kentucky, that they're still doing good things for, so that money will go where we intended for it to go. Then we sent $2,000 to Andrew Womack's ministry, primarily because he gives away all of his teaching material and he's training students to learn what we teach. And that's rare in the Christian church. Can I get an amen? And then last week, remember the offering was $2,734.08? Last week, we sent Samaritan's Purse $2,000 because they're in the process of building a hospital over in that area of Ukraine somewhere, I don't know, Franklin Graham. I trust that ministry completely. It's already set up. And so this ministry gave $2,000 to the Samaritan's Purse to help with the hospital. Can I get a round of applause? Amen. So the next time you spend one of your Bible classes or one of your deacon board meetings criticizing the ministry over here at Life in Christ Church, you might want to shut your mouth. Amen. God bless you. Stand up on your feet. We're going to sing this wonderful song by third day, and then we're going to teach the Bible. Last week, and I want to take the time to really give a shout out to this man. James, what's your full name? J.R., isn't it? James Robert Taylor. Last week, put this on our Facebook page. Now, the thing I like most about it is he put a picture of me on there. Dang, I look good. I can't help it, Brian. I'm sorry. And so I went on the website, Linda, and I saw that, and I said, I am going to recognize James Taylor personally and thank him. But listen, I found out, though, by him doing this, I'm being serious now, that I also did it on the Facebook page, and you get more responses when you put your picture up there. So anyway, if you'll type in lifeinchristchurch.net, this is what James put on there. He put my picture going up slow, Jordan. Go slow so everybody can get the full effect of it. Wait a minute. I just saw him smile. I saw you smile. You liked that, didn't you? I'm quitting. I've done my job. I'm going home. All right. Now, you know what I got up here, right? What do I got up here? Those are the Bible from Acts to Jude. And so then he puts this up here. James did this all by himself, didn't ask permission. My deacon board, they can do whatever they want. Go on up now, Jordan. And he says it like this. Have you been epistolated? If you are a Christian, take a journey with us. And that's why, what are we doing every day on Facebook? We're journey through the epistles. Elder Bryant back there posted on Facebook. I posted, and then he posted, so I know he's up about the same time I am. And we're putting that up so that people can read some verses out of the epistles. If you are a Christian, take a journey with us through the epistles and find out, oh, please desperately find out who you are in Christ. Find out. You got to find out who you are in Christ. You're not going to find it out in most churches. You're not going to find it out. You're going to be led by doubt and unbelief, but you got to read the epistles and find out who you are in Christ. And then go on up some more, Jordan. Everything that you have ever thought, let's say it. I'm going to say it, and then I want everybody else to say it with me. Ready? Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. Say it with me out loud. Come on, let's do it. Everything that you have ever thought, believed, heard, read, or seen about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. God told me that He raised me up for this purpose. This is why I'm here. I'm here for this purpose. I've spent 25 or 30 years of my life focusing primarily on the epistles. And so I have something to offer to people. I have some information to give to people. How many of you would be disappointed if you went to your doctor and he told you that was his very first day of practicing medicine? Huh? How many of you went to get your taxes done and the guy sat in front of you, or the lady sat in front of you and said, "Man, I'm excited. You're my very first tax return." Capital gains? What's capital gains? I don't know. Amen. No. I think it's important you go to somebody that knows what they're talking about. And I know what I'm talking about when it comes to this stuff. I know what I know. And that's what God has told me to do. He says, tell people what you know. Just keep telling people what you know. You know, our world's in a bad spot. It's in a bad place. And it's going to get worse. America's going to get worse, not going to get better. We had our time. We had our moment. We had our opportunity. But we did what God told the Israelites they'd do when they got over to the promised land, when they got over to the land flowing with milk and honey. He told them, he says, "You're going to get over there and you're going to forget about me." And we've forgotten about him. I know we've forgotten about him by the leadership and the people that we keep putting in charge of our nation, people that aren't qualified, people that don't know what they're doing. Other people see that we have people in charge that don't know what they're doing and they're taking advantage of it. Are you listening to me? And I don't know if we're going to recover. I really don't. And that's why I'm going to tell people about Jesus and get as many people as I can to go to heaven. Because there's no evil in heaven and there's no evil in God. So God's not the one that's causing or doing or having anything to do with all the terrible stuff that's going on in Russia and Ukraine and the invasion of Ukraine by Russia. That's got nothing to do with God. That's the work of the devil. Anytime somebody's stealing, killing, or destroying, you know the devil's reared his ugly head. Can you say amen? Amen. So we're going to be doing this and telling these things to people. And we're going to use the wonderful technology that's been presented to us through the radio, through the internet, to be able to get this information to people. And I'm positively confident in knowing that there are a lot of people that look forward to listening to what we have to say. And even people that don't look forward to hearing what we have to say, they want to hear what we have to say anyway because it speaks to them. It's real. It's a reality. Turned out last week, and I don't know if I was divinely led this way, but we ended last week's sermon with this verse, Acts 15:11. We ended last week's sermon with this verse, Acts 15:11. Now, I told you that I was going to get over into the epistles. What we're going to do, and this is probably, I don't know if Jesus, this may last as long as Jesus comes back. Because remember now, he said at the end, in the end times there'll be pestilences and wars and, you know, we've been in a pandemic. We're in another war. We're in a war where they're actually bombing real cities. You know, this is not some deserted, desolate place. They're They're attacking. This is real cities. Let me say one other thing, too, and I hope I don't offend anybody, but I have to say it. They did a survey or whatever they call that thing where they ask questions. Poll. They did a poll of Americans to ask them who would be willing to defend America if we got attacked. And please don't sit around and think for one moment that couldn't happen. See, we're dealing with somebody now that's got a missile that can get here. I don't want to scare you, but also I need to tell you the truth. And so they did a poll and they asked people who would be willing to protect America if we got invaded. The vast majority, way more Republicans were willing to defend our country than Democrats. You know why? Because more Republicans are conservative Christians who not only care about themselves, but care about other people. They're not looking for a handout. Don't shout me down now, just because I'm telling you the truth. Now, I need our young people to hear something. Stay in shape. Stay in shape. That's how bad this thing could get, and it could get that bad quickly. Because do you see who we got running it? Who we got in charge of it? Who we're sending over to fix it? Giggle lady. Last week, I left off right here. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. I've had you say something already, but I think it's worth repeating. Let's say that out loud, everybody. But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. This verse was spoken by the Apostle Peter. Most everybody knows who I'm talking about when I talk about Peter. It always fascinates me. My son was a graduate of Veritas Christian School, and he went to Christian school. And it always fascinates me how they require you to memorize the 12 apostles. So it's always fascinated me. You know, I mean, they're quality guys. The Lord got on me one time because I talked bad about him. He said, don't be talking bad about my boys. So, I mean, UK got beat yesterday, but don't be talking bad about my boys. So he did. One time he got on me, he said, don't be talking bad about me. But it was fascinating to me that it's like the analogy. Remember when you went to school and they made you learn the 50 capitals? How many of you think you still know them? Boy, it's amazing how many I still do. What's the capital of Alaska? Juneau. Isn't it? Is it or not? Okay, thank you, Jane. All right. Hey, you never know when that might not be a Jeopardy question. Don't anybody say a word. Jamin, what's the capital of Arizona? My boy. Anyway, this was by the Apostle Peter, okay? When you read the Bible, when you read the epistles, you're going to find out that he is called the Apostle to the Jew. He's the Apostle to the Jew. And what went on here was there was a contention and dissension amongst the early church. Nothing ever changes. Nothing ever changes, about whether or not people that received Jesus who aren't Jews, there was contention and dissension about whether or not should they be required to keep the Jewish law. And so they had a big spat about it, and they had a big meeting. They called all the deacons together. They called Donnie and Becky and Bryant and James, and we all got together in a room. And they came to the conclusion that, no, you're not saved by the Jewish law. You're saved by grace through faith. Can I get an amen? So we don't have to worry about keeping holy days and going to church at certain times and doing certain things and ceremonial and all kinds of stuff like that. Basically, Peter stands up and says, look, we couldn't keep the law. Why are you making the Gentile people keep the law? We believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved in the same manner as they. Guess what? And I didn't go back and completely confirm this, but I believe that this is the last word spoken by the Apostle Peter in the book of Acts. I'm going to get us to Romans, but I got to get us through Acts. All right. After the book of Acts 15:11, most of the dialogue and most of the emphasis is placed on a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus. I told you about him a little bit last week. He's on the road to Damascus, and he's a Pharisee, okay? And he hates Christians. And he has been part of persecuting Christians. He has been okay with Christians being killed. I don't think the Bible actually I don't think you can really see how bad he was to Christians, really, unless you evaluate and study it. We understand and we find out that he's standing while Stephen is being stoned, the first martyr, okay? And so he's not a good guy. He's a religious Pharisee. That's where that phrase comes from, or one of the reasons why we have that phrase. Everybody listening? Okay. But God, and I believe this, before Stephen died, and by the way, I'm trusting God on this. I'm not going to try to put a lot of verses up because I've been studying this stuff all my life, and so I know these things. But before Stephen dies, the last thing he says, he sees Jesus standing at the right hand of God, ready to receive him into heaven. And before he dies, he said, "Lord, don't hold this charge against them." And then it tells you that Paul's standing there. I believe that allowed God the opportunity to minister the gospel to Paul, because God can't do anything unless he does it through men. Have you not figured that out yet? Let me give you the other side of that. The devil can't do anything unless he does it through men. See, he couldn't invade Ukraine unless he had somebody like Vladimir Putin at his control. And see, we can't go over and put a hospital up to help the people of Ukraine unless we've got somebody that God can operate through, like Franklin Graham. See that right there? That information right there was worth you getting out of bed and hearing. That right there was a good information for anybody listening by radio or internet. Forget all that religious hocus pocus they've tried to throw on you. None of it makes sense unless what I just said makes sense. The devil's working through men and God's working through men. And if we want to seek success, we got to have more godly men. And when I say men, I mean women too. God made male and female. Right, Francis? Thank God he didn't just make a bunch of men. Dirty, smelly, stinky men. Thank God he made some women. Might have made too many, but he made women. Amen. So, I'm going to tell you this story about Paul, and we're going to finish up in one of my favorite stories in all the Bible. But Paul gets knocked off his horse on the road to Damascus. And we're going to hear more about this story later, but I want to pick it up in Acts 9. The Lord has appeared to this man named Ananias, I believe it is, A-N-A-N-A-S, something like that. And he says, "I want you to go over and lay hands on Paul," because the brightness of the light, when God had appeared to Paul and knocked him off his horse, the brightness of the light had blinded him. It wasn't physical sickness, it was the brightness of the glory of God. See, natural man can't stand in the presence of the glory of God. See, that's the reason why we don't comprehend exactly what we have, because what we have is in our spirit, and you can't see your spirit, but your spirit's there. You can't see God, but God's there. Any of you ministers that's listening and you're Christian and you keep asking God to show up at your church service, go back to school and learn more. He's at your church service if you came there. He's here today because I'm here. He's here today because you're here. And if that's not good enough for you, he said, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in your midst." Oh, God be with us. See, they're just saying that because they don't know. They're feeling for God. They're feeling for him. The natural world makes no sense if that's how you try to approach God. If you try to put God in the midst of all this stuff, it makes no sense. God is a spirit and God is love, and love don't kill people. So this fella says, "Wait a minute, now you want me to go lay hands on that fella?" And the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine. Now catch this now. Go, for he is a chosen vessel of mine to bear my name before Gentiles. And everybody that's not a Jew is a
Gentile.
Amen. Everybody got that? To bear my name before Gentiles, kings, and the children of Israel. Verse 16. For, see, this is the cool thing about God. He'll tell you what the deal is. For I will show him. Let me stop here. Let me read the verse and tell you what he told me one time. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. See, he didn't suffer for being a bad guy. He didn't suffer for being an adulterer or a liar or a thief. He suffered for testifying about the grace of God that's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that and then evaluate and understand who's running the world and who's running most of Christian religion. I don't apologize for saying it. I'm telling you the truth. And we have the ability to tell the truth. But anyway, he said, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. I shouldn't even take the time to do this. I don't even want to try to compare myself to Paul. But I'll never forget the Lord told me one time, because I was bawling and squalling and complaining about how tough it was. That's another thing, boys, we got to watch out as Americans and young people and anybody else. Quit complaining and bawling and squalling about how tough it is. See, they're not right now, they're not raining bombs down on you. It's not that tough. But he said, son, he said, it's going to be tough on you, he says, because you're swimming upstream. You're swimming upstream, and you're going against the grain. But he said, I'll always meet the need. Has he always met the need?
Amen.
Praise God, you better believe it. So he says, for I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. And oh, man. We're not going to do it today because of time, but when we get into the epistles, one of the epistles we'll get into is 2 Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians, he gives you a list of all the things he dealt with as for preaching the gospel. He was whipped like 5 times, 39 times with a Roman whip. He was beaten with rods. He was stoned. He was shipwrecked. All kinds of wonderful, fun things that everybody wants to do on Thursday. Can I get an amen? And I wonder how many of us would be able to withstand any kind of persecution like that. I wonder. Boy, we're soft. We gotten soft. See, the thing about success, the dangerous thing about success, and America has been successful for many, many years. The dangerous thing about success is it'll make you soft. That's why you got to have a lot of respect for teams that are able to repeat championships. See, y'all see that? You got to have a lot of respect because you did it 1 year, and after you do it 1 year, you think, well, I climbed that mountain. That's why I guess really and truly you just got to like Tom Brady. How many of you thought we'd get Tom Brady in a sermon about the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say amen? Amen. For I will show him how many things he must suffer for my name's sake. Let's read a couple of passages of Scripture about what he says about himself before I go to the story that's one of my favorite in all the Bible and that every Christian ought to understand. Over in Philippians, it starts in verse 6. Watch this now. Paul's talking to the Philippian church, and one of the things that he has to always fight in the churches that he establishes is he has to fight to keep religion from entering into the churches. Do you know that's the same thing we've always had to do through the history of the church is to keep religion from coming in, is to make you get tied up in rules and rituals and regulations and holy days and making idols out of ministers. Do you know that? And I don't have to tell any of y'all. I don't think any of y'all's made an idol out of me. Have you? If you have, Teresa will help you. Amen. I don't think anybody's done anything like that. But you know, so what he always had to do was they kept wanting to bring the Jewish law. They wanted to keep bringing the Jewish law and put it on them and say, you need to go get circumcised. You need to go get circumcised. And see, the whole point, again, when you get in the epistles, you'll find all this out. See, I know why the Lord's letting me do this, because I know so much about some of the stuff I'm talking about. And I don't mean that, arrogantly. I swear I don't. I should know more. I should know more. I don't even know how to approach that thing in Ukraine properly. I really don't. I don't know. The only thing I know to do is to get people saved, and if people are hurt, is to help them. I'm hung up on that thing about praying, like, because in my mind, I don't know. I'm a simple person on some level, but in my mind, you can't tell me God don't know about it. And if He's going to do something about it, He's going to do something about it through us. See, God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself and has committed to us, the word of reconciliation. That's all I know to do. I mean, I know God knows it. I know He don't like it. So He tells them, He says, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law. See, this is his life before Christ. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Blameless. Oh, he was religious. He was a religious man. He was better than other people. Verse 7. But what things... See, and let me say this too, as you read this and as you read the epistles and you read his life, you'll find out that understanding what he was kept him focused on who he was now. And it allowed him to be able to deal with being whipped and stoned and beaten, because he recognized what he was, and now he recognized what God made him. See, that's why I think people that are most successful in Christianity. Listen, Jesus said it like this in Luke's gospel. To whom much is forgiven, they love much. And to much, those that don't think they've had much forgiven, they don't love as much. You with me? See, when you recognize what God brought you out of. See, I remember the first time I got born again. I got caught up in the Catholic, charismatic, crazy move of God. I wasn't looking for God. I wasn't interested in God. I'd call him the man upstairs, and me and him were okay, you know, but I liked what I was doing. And I was all wrapped up in me. You with me? But I got caught up in the move of God and recognized that God was real, and I received Jesus, and he saved me gloriously and supernaturally and miraculously. Can I get an amen? But I backslid for 5 years. I was a younger person when I got saved, and I backslid, and I thought I was in love with a girl, and I thought if I went back to old Mark Browning, she'd like old Mark Browning, because she didn't like new Mark Browning. But I thought she'll like old Mark Browning. But she didn't like old Mark Browning either. So anyway, through the process of time and through really getting down into the depths of sin, I actually turned back to God sincerely and genuinely. And you know what? The second time was more profound, because the second time I recognized what I was turning my back on. And you know what I was turning my back on? Me. Because I finally recognized that me was nothing. Me was nothing. I'll say it to anybody that wants to hear it. If you give us enough rope, every single one of us will hang ourselves. That's why you can't have any confidence in the flesh. That's why you got to understand that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. That's why you have to get to where the Apostle Paul got. It's no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. Oh, praise God. Now, I haven't got to where he got on that. You with me? I'm going to go home today and I'm going to watch Selection Sunday on the NCAA, and I'm probably going to put a couple of dollars down on the results. But But I'm telling you, the second time around, I recognized, you know what I recognized? I needed to be saved from me. I was a danger to society. And you know what was fascinating about that? If you'd have asked me before I knew Jesus about me, I'd have spoken in glowing terms. Well, I'm a great guy. I'm fine. I'm wonderful. Wonderful to who? Everywhere I went, I caused train wrecks. Amen. And I was wrapped up in me. But what things, I said all that to get to you here, over here. But what things were gained to me? These I have counted loss for Christ. Verse 8. Praise God. Verse 8. Yes, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord. Listen to this now. Listen to this. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them. Now, New King James is real polite and calls it rubbish. Old King James is not quite polite. They call it dung. And if you don't know what dung is, then you've never been on a farm and you've never been in a barn and you've never watched a cow. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish or garbage, that I may gain Christ. Whew. Listen to me. The greatest person that's ever lived that was born of a man and a woman. See, you have to understand that doesn't count Jesus because he was only born of a woman. He was born supernaturally. He was God before he came and he was God when he came. But the person that's been born from a man and a woman naturally, there's never been a greater person alive than Paul the Apostle. And I'm going to propose to you, see, we're going to get into these books here, and he writes the first 14, Romans to Hebrews. Now, Hebrews, there's some dispute as to who wrote it. That's why they stick it at the end of his letters. But I'm going to give him credit for the book of Hebrews as well, because I don't think anybody alive on the earth had the revelation he had that's presented in the book of Hebrews. Anyway, he writes the first 14 epistles. Remember, it's Romans to Jude. He writes the vast majority of them. And so we have to introduce this man and get you acclimated to this man. And I'm going to propose to you that the greatest problem in the body of Christ relative to God is a lack of understanding of the Pauline revelation. Somebody said, what is the Pauline revelation? It primarily is birthed from two verses of Scripture. The just shall live by faith. Oh, man, it cost him everything. See, because man wants to figure out some way to gain access to God. That's why they built the Tower of Babel. We'll build that tower and we'll get up to God the way we want to get up to Him. And God said, no, you won't. We're going down there and put an end to that building project. And He gave everybody a different language and He calls people to go to different parts of the world and settle in different parts of the world, and it was intended to be that way. That's why on some level the greatest mistakes we've made from a foreign policy thing is to try to get over their mind and stick our nose in somebody else's problem. Nothing good came out of going over to Iraq. Nothing good. Nothing. No different now than it was when we went over there. But that's another subject, and I promise you no more political commentary for a moment there. But primarily it comes from the verse he found, the just shall live by faith, hidden somewhere in one of them Old Testament prophets, Habakkuk, over there. How many of you spend a lot of quality time reading Habakkuk? Don't raise your hand, we're going to give an altar call for liars. How many of you didn't even know there was a Habakkuk? Jerry, get your hand up, and that's why I like you. The just shall live by faith. And then the next verse he got, that was Habakkuk. And then the other revelation he got was from Genesis 15:6. Abraham believed God, and God accredited it to him as righteousness. In other words, Abraham wasn't righteous because he lived righteous. Abraham was righteous because he believed God. I love Abraham. He's my favorite Old Testament prophet, a favorite Old Testament person, but he gave his wife up twice to protect his own skin. I'd never do that to you. Wait till we hear if a bomb's headed our way. Teresa, cover me up! I'm taking cover! Teresa, you go in there and tell Jordan a bomb's coming. All right. How y'all happy so far? Okay, so I want to go over and end this with, to back this all up, because remember God said that he was the apostle. Anyway, in the epistles, you'll find out that Paul is the apostle to the Gentile. And so if you haven't learned what he found out from God by revelation, then you really don't know the essence of the Bible. You don't know the essence of the gospel. And remember, he told him he'd let him minister to kings and Gentiles. So in Acts 26, he's been put in prison. He's on his way to Rome, and he's been put in prison. And for political reasons, they keep him in prison. And finally, he gets an opportunity to present his case to King Agrippa and his lovely wife, Bernice. How many of you know they had some weird names back in the day for people in the Bible? But anyway, he gets an opportunity to speak to King Agrippa and Bernice, his lovely wife, and it's a moment of great pomp and circumstance. It's almost like he's going to get to speak before both bodies of Congress. And I'm positive he'll do better than Joe Biden did on his State of the Union address. Amen. So anyway, he comes in with great pomp and circumstance. Now catch a hold of this, because there's great stuff in here. Because after today, we're going to start studying the books of Romans all the way through. I haven't figured out how I'm going to do it. Romans has got 16 chapters. I've had to put a verse in Romans up, it seems like, for 2 years on Facebook. When are we going to get through that rascal? And then picking out which one you want to pick out. You know what I'm saying? It can be a challenge. I put on today that kind of probably got people a little confused. You got to give an account to God for yourself. Ooh, I thought, well, you know. All right. But how many of you know that's true? All right. So anyway, he gets to speak. So he says, he's a wise man. And so he's been given the opportunity to say something. So he introduces, and this isn't in the text, but he gets up in front of King Agrippa and he says, I think myself happy to be given the opportunity to speak to you. So he says something nice about him. And full disclosure, oh man, see, Lord, why would you make me do this? Full disclosure, you're not supposed to talk bad about dignitaries. Yeah, full disclosure, but you'll just have to pray for me and I just have to repent of my sins, because I got to keep talking about it. Indeed, verse 9, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Remember, everybody know the story? Acts 26, verse 10. I'm going to go verse by verse real quick. This I also did in Jerusalem. And so you get a more picture of what's going on. In many of the saints, I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. See, now remember now, he would remember that when he'd start thinking, you know, I need to get out of this thing called Christianity. It's too tough. No, he remembered what he did. He remembered what God has allowed him to do now. I'm going to say this to everybody by radio, internet. The greatest revelation you can get is that you're not worthy. The greatest revelation you can get is that you need a Savior. It's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you. And see, that's the reason, I got to go so slow sometimes. See, that's the reason why that false doctrine came in about the sovereignty of God and that God was controlling everything. Because see, what people don't understand is that when something bad happens to you, sure, God's going to take that as an opportunity to come into your life and try to minister comfort and grace to you. but he didn't cause it. See, all the stuff I did wrong, God didn't cause it, and God didn't want me to do it. But he didn't mind when I recognized that I needed him. Didn't bother him at all. I know what he's wanting to say forever and ever to most people. What's took you so long? Man, we've been watching you since you've been born. Man, pew, you like Lazarus, you stinketh. This I also did in Jerusalem, and I punished them often in every synagogue, and listen, and compelled them to blaspheme. See, he tortured them and was part of torturing them to the point where they actually blasphemed. You know, I talk about how I'd stand up and testify for Jesus if somebody held a gun to my head. Woo, I wonder. And maybe that would be a quick way, because it'd be over. But man, if they started whipping my back, I might be saying, hey, wait a minute, boy, stop just a minute. I've changed my mind. See? He was so evil and so bad that he actually compelled Christians to blaspheme. And being exceedingly enraged against them. See, he hated them. But hey, here's the good news. Maybe the people that hate us the most might be the people that turn out to be the best Christians. So far, I haven't seen that manifest, but could. And being exceedingly enraged against them, I persecuted them even to foreign cities. Verse 12. By the way, this is all in the Bible. I'm not reading this out of some comic book. I'm reading it out of the Bible. Get you a modern translation like the New King James. Don't, you know, God bless the old King James and keep one in your house if you need to see how it was written back then. But get you a translation you can understand and read this stuff for yourself. While thus occupied, as I journeyed to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest, verse 13, at midday, O king, along the road I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, shining around me and those who journeyed with me. And when we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me. Now catch a hold of this. And we all had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me and saying in the Hebrew language, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Verse 15. So I said, you're riding on a horse and you get knocked off that horse and the light you look at so bright that it blinds you and it knocks everybody around you out. What's your response to God going to be? Lord. So I said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. Now watch this. Verse 16, watch this. But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness, both of the things which you have seen and of the things, listen, and of the things which I will yet reveal to you. And they're found in the letters Romans through Hebrews. Don't shout me down. Watch this now. Verse 17. Watch this. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. See, if you haven't sat under the Pauline revelation, you haven't got the revelation Jesus Christ wants you to have. Don't shout me down now. Verse 18. Here it is right here. This is the verse I want on Facebook. This is it right here. This is it. And it's not complicated, it's not complex. Only religion has made it complicated and complex. To open their eyes. Open their eyes. Say it. To open their eyes. To open my eyes. To open my eyes. What? Open my eyes to what? In order in order to turn them from darkness to light. Listen, listen, oh, listen. And from the power of Satan to God. Man, you don't have to be Albert Einstein to get that. You don't have to be Billy Graham to get that. You don't have to go to a cemetery or a seminary to get that. All you got to do is open your eyes to understand that the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. The devil's the god of this world. The devil's the prince of the power of the air. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that you might have life. The devil's darkness. I'm light. And I need you to tell people to turn from Satan and turn to me. And I'm proposing to you that in the 90 percentile, most Christian people don't know that at all. They don't know it. They think it's all God. I never will forget one of my dear buddies that used to come to church here, and his name slipped me in the middle of preaching, and he came for years. Daggone it, he owned a towing company. Herb Goen. He said, I think he left for a while and went to Connecticut and lived, and he'd come back and visit periodically, and every time he'd come back and visit, he'd come up and he'd shake my hand. He said, I'll go to this church, and you know what I tell that minister every Sunday? And I thought, oh, no, what? What do you tell him? You don't talk about the devil enough. I know people that have gone to church their whole life and don't even know that there is a devil. And he's the problem. He's the rat. And how do you get out from under the rat? Turn into Jesus. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. Listen to this. Listen to this. That they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Oh, there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance that Christ Jesus has come into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Those are epistle verses. I didn't pull them out of some comic book somewhere. I got them right out of the Holy Bible. Those are Pauline revelations that I just quoted to you. Can I get an amen? Amen? Everybody see that? Isn't that tremendous? Isn't that tremendous? What's verse 19 say, Jordan? Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Verse 20, real quick. But declared first to those in Damascus and in Jerusalem. See, he got saved on the road to Damascus. So he started talking about it in Damascus. Then he went back into Jerusalem and began to talk about it. And throughout all the region of Judea, and then to the Gentiles. That's why all the letters to the Gentiles are, Romans to Hebrews. And then to the Gentiles, that they should repent, turn to God, and do works befitting repentance. For these reasons, the Jews seized me in the temple and tried to kill me. For what? For telling people the truth. Because I stirred up the devil's nest. Verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now as he thus made his defense, read this story. I read this story sometimes just to get built back up. Just when I start thinking that I'm important, or that I'm not doing things the way I ought to be doing it. I just read this story because who cares? Now as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, you are beside yourself. You crazy. You crazy, man. Much learning is driving you mad. Paul was too smart to be a preacher. Can I say amen to that? Listen to this. Now watch what happens here. Watch this. Watch this. But he said, I'm not mad. No, I'm not crazy. Most noble Festus, but I speak the words of truth and reason. See, that's why this appeals to some people. That's why they can't get turned loose of it. That's why they'll keep turning it on even though they think I am crazy. They'll keep turning it on because it's like, wait a minute now. That stuff at church, that's hocus pocus. That's just religious jargon. That don't do any good. I've been doing that all my life and got nothing. Except excuses. Don't make excuses. Don't be a victim. Proclaim the greatness and the goodness of God. So he sees something. He sees old King Agrippa's close to getting saved. See, you can tell it when you're preaching. See, I noticed when Jamin started smiling. Did you see that? I caught it. That's why I have a lot of respect for him to be able to sit on the front row, even though your mama makes you. And she's a good mama for making you. Amen. Amen. I guarantee you Anna Michelle Browning is not at church this morning. Now, if she was at home, she'd be at church. But I guarantee you she's not at church this morning. But she sat on the front row enough to know some things that I guarantee you she can't get away from. For the king, Agrippa, before whom I also speak freely, knows these things. Oh, listen to this. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention. Oh, the beauty of this. Oh, the magnificence of this. Since this thing was not done in a corner. Jesus Christ died publicly in front of the whole world, hung naked on a cross for the whole world to see. And he shouted from that cross, my God, why have you forsaken me? And he forsook him so that he could save us, so that he could sanctify us, so he could put his sins on Jesus and not have to put them on us. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. By the way, what I'm doing right now in front of you publicly, every time I read this verses, these passages of Scripture when I'm solid and settled, not thinking about the stock market, I cry just like this every time I read it. It's so pure. It's so holy. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. How many of you know almost won't do it? Almost won't do it. You got to dive off the diving board. You got to be willing to deal with the abuse and the persecution and the slander. Your family may not like you anymore. Are you listening to me? I can't quit right now. I'm ministering to people. There's a price to pay to come to Jesus. You may have to turn your back on all your religious tradition that you were brought up in all your life. But it's worth it. It's worth it. Just what I feel right now, what I know right now, and feel may not be the right word, but what I understand right now in my spirit is worth more than any silver and gold you can ever give me. And I don't mind you giving me silver and gold. But it's no substitute for this. The knowledge of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ almost won't do it. Come on and receive Jesus. Today's the day of salvation. And Paul said, I would to God that not only you, but also all who hear me today might become both almost and altogether such as I am, except for these chains. They didn't receive it. He didn't get it. He didn't do it. Stand up on your feet. Praise the Lord. Thank you. But if you're listening by radio or internet, almost won't do it. Almost won't do it. Some of y'all been listening to my radio program, and some of you been listening by internet, and some of you have just been kind of listening. But you need to dive off the diving board and receive Jesus. Turn your back on religion. Turn your back on it. And religion don't even have to be church. Religion can just be you. Religion can be being a Democrat or a Republican or a conservative or a liberal. Religion is just something that's keeping you from God. Almost won't do it. Receive Jesus right now. Say this with me while it's fresh in your brain, while it's fresh on your mind. Say this with me. Say, Dear God, I believe that Jesus Christ died for me and rose from the dead that I might be sanctified, that I might be saved, that I might be delivered from the power of Satan and transferred into the kingdom of the Son of your love. I receive him today. I identify myself today as a Christian, as a follower of Jesus. In Jesus' holy name. Oh, people's prayed that prayer. I know you have. I know you have. And we just thank you for doing it. And we ask you to do something really important. Get your hands on a Bible. Start at the book of John. Start if you're new to the Bible completely, go to the Gospel of John, read the life of Jesus, go on to Acts and read about the early church, and then stay in those epistles until you find out who you are in Christ. Amen. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.
Praise God. We'll see you Wednesday night at my house.